This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Maroon Friday edition of the Yard. Isn't it wonderful that we live in a country that we can celebrate Maroon Friday as we choose? I hope that you're celebrating, even though the Bulldogs have an open date. I want to clarify that again. It's not a bye week. It's an open date. It's not synonymous. It's an open date. Byes are part of tournaments. There is no bye week. There's an open date. That understood. Chance for us to kind of get caught up. I'll check out some high school football tonight. I'll enjoy watching college football tomorrow. That's a rarity for me, to be quite honest. When you cover an SEC football team, you don't get a ton of time to watch a lot of other games. And more times than not, what I have to do is go back and watch the on-demand version as we prepare for the show, watch our opponents and watch a couple of games, try to pick up on some tendencies. Yeah, you know. I mean, plus you just love the game. We'll talk about the SEC weekend. Got a top 10 list. It means something special to me. We'll talk a little bit about men's and women's basketball. We'll talk a little recruiting. And we'll get out of here and we'll enjoy our weekend. And again, it is Friday, so I hope it's a payday for you. There's nothing quite like payday, right? I mean, you know, you just kind of, I remember those days. You know, maybe it's a couple days leading into payday. You're a little bit more careful with stuff. Payday gets here and you can relax a little bit. So I hope that's the case for you. It's kind of a rainy day here in Starkville. It's not supposed to last very long, but we've had some rain this week, and not a ton, but a little bit. Some cooler air headed into the vicinity. One quick thing, too, I want to share. I've already seen some posts, and it happened to my daughter this week in Harvard, at Harvard as well. You know, she lives in Harvard Square and had a package taken off of her stoop of her residence up there. And I saw two posts yesterday where I think one was like a UPS driver or USPS driver. I can't remember. I don't want to unfairly identify anybody, but they had taken a picture and it wasn't the right place, and it was some little girl's Christmas. I saw two posts yesterday, basically the same thing. One was an Amazon delivery, and I can't remember the other. I think it was USPS, I think. But, you know, they have to take these clarification pictures and or these confirmation pictures. The first thing that I want to say is to those of you that are out delivering our packages, you have a very important job. You do. And perhaps you don't get paid enough to do it. I don't know your circumstances. I don't know your finances. But I know that you have a very important job to do. I understand it. And there have been times in the past, there's one service in particular around here, where it'll show my packages are out for delivery, and then it'll show that they're delivered and they're not, and then they show up a couple days later. I don't know the reasoning behind that, but I suspect it's poor management and laziness, just my honest opinion. And I had one guy one day show up, it's a couple summers ago, and dropped off some packages that were months old and said, yeah, we found these in the warehouse, like back in a corner. And so it's disappointing, right? Of course, you hit up Amazon, they make it right for you. But you order stuff because you want stuff, and you've worked hard for the money to pay for that stuff. And for somebody to steal that from you, it's kind of beyond the pale. And then when you think about the fact that there are some delivery drivers that apparently are having some issues getting the packages delivered, and it seems like kind of a scam. It is. So I just want to reiterate the importance of this, and this may sound like old hat, but we're depending on you. We are. You have an important role in society, because it may not just be a Christmas present, right? And the fact that you got to steal for Christmas, you know, just kind of takes the whole the meaning of Christmas kind of out of it. You know, we talk about all this commercialism and things of that nature, and that doesn't help. But there are a lot of other people out there that are, they're waiting on medicine, or they're waiting on a part, you know, to fix a car or to fix something that's important to them. And they're depending on you to get that to them. And so it's important, I think, for us to kind of reset the scale a little bit. And there's just a sense of entitlement with all this, right? I mean, it's like, hey, well, I'm going to take this because I feel like I deserve this, or my kids deserve this, or whatever. I don't know where people are in life. I don't know what has brought them to this point in their life where they feel justified in that sort of stuff. But it's not proper. It shouldn't happen. And I know we have some people out there that are very honest, that do a great job and have integrity. And there's some other people out there that make them look bad. So I don't want to paint with a broad brush, but I just want to say, if you're one of those delivery people, no matter who you work for or what you're delivering, we appreciate you. And for those of you that do a great job getting us our much needed and much desired packages delivered on time, we appreciate it. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. We love them. They always deliver, right? Not literally, but figuratively. They always deliver. I've never had a bad meal there. I've never had a bad experience there. They're so incredibly consistent, and that speaks to great management. It also speaks to great buy-in from employees. You know, hey, I like this job. I don't want to lose this job. I want to do a great job. I'm part of a great company, doing a great job for great customers. You appreciate that, right? I do. You know, it's like it's so rare to get great service these days. You get good service some places, but you know as well as I do, a lot of times you get service that maybe is less than you expect and certainly less than you deserve. You're going to get great service at Bulldog Burger Company. Matter of fact, I think we'll have Bulldog Burger Company for dinner. I think that's what we're going to do. We'll see. Got to run it by the bride. But I've kind of talked myself into a craving here. I love Bulldog Burger Company. I do. I love the fact that I can put my feet under their table and they'll just take care of everything. A lot of times we get it to go. They do such a great job packaging that you don't get home with just some, you know, a soppy mess, right? They do a great job. I can't speak highly enough of the job they do on the to-go order. It's worth tipping. I don't want to get philosophical here, you know, but I don't like tipping 20% on to-go orders because you don't do as much. Right? When somebody's waiting the table and topping off the drinks and clearing the table, they're working harder, okay? That's not to say that I don't tip on to-go orders. I do. I'm not a bum. And you should too. You should tip on to-go orders as well because somebody's taking the time to quality package your dinner so you can enjoy that. So that's worthy. That's worthy of a tip. But all of that understood. Bulldog Burger Company just kind of takes things to a new level. You know, the level of service there is really just kind of unforeseen within the industry. That, to me, is such an added bonus. It should be an expectation, but they go over and beyond when it comes to quality service. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Find your own favorites. If you're a newbie to Bulldog Burger Company, just get the Bulldog. You can't go wrong with that. You can't. Ask about the specials. Find out what's new, what's being tested. You know, there's some great burgers up there. You know, and my favorites tend to change just depending on what my level of craving is. You know, sometimes I need a little more protein, so I go with the smokehouse, right? Maybe you feel that way too. Have those spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. I believe it is the best appetizer in Starkville proper and perhaps the other markets as well. I haven't done a tremendous amount of research. But I know that I love those spring rolls. And get that chocolate shake or that Nutella shake to go. You could ride that ride home with a smile. Don't forget, too, great gift ideas, the Eat With Us gift cards. You can get them exclusively for Bulldog Burger Company or get the variety pack. Go to eatwithus.com and give somebody that you love a night out on you. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. Okay, let's jump right into our SEC preview. Obviously, Bulldogs are off this weekend. Texas A&M will host a 1-10 Samford club that has already made a coaching change. Probably won't see the Aggies play the starters maybe a half. You know, this should be an absolute bloodbath of a game. Should be. I think if you're A&M, the goal is to win the game, get out here healthy, period. Shouldn't be much of a contest at all. A&M should be 11-0 heading into the big showdown with Texas. Rivalry week's going to be a fun one. We talked about it a little bit earlier this week, Missouri at Oklahoma. Now, there is a lot of talk about Eli Drinkwitz potentially moving on from Missouri. Now, he has kind of maybe authoritatively said, I'm happy doing what I'm doing here, not looking to leave. We've heard that from other coaches, not to say that he's being disingenuous, but his candidacy for other jobs, I think, has been overshadowed by all this Lane Kiffin stuff. If we didn't have the drama, the soap opera that Lane Kiffin and his folks have concocted, and granted, you know, he's not offering himself, but as we've noted on this show many times, he hasn't handled this well. He hasn't handled this like a professional. I truly believe if this wasn't going on with Kiffin, there'd be a lot more chatter about Eli Drinkwitz. And there is some concern in Como about him leaving. He's mentioned the connection with Penn State, mentioned in connection with Florida, perhaps at Auburn. I don't think it's going to be Auburn, but I do think there is a good chance that he moves on. How much of that is a distraction as we move into the final 2 weeks of the season? I don't know. Got two road games starting this weekend at Oklahoma. Oklahoma 8-2. This is a huge ball game for them. And this is your 11 o'clock watching opportunity, right? When you get into tomorrow and you get through game day and you're just kind of hanging out and you said, you know what, I'm going to just relax and watch college football all day. This is the game you start with. I think it's going to be a great game. The question about, to me, with this one is freshman quarterback on the road against a great defense. I'm going to take the Sooners here. Oklahoma favored by 6.5. I like the pick, and I'll take the points. Now, that's going to be a great game. Just about everything else in the morning and early afternoon are going to be terrible games. Terrible games, in the words of Charles Barkley. 1-9 Charlotte will visit Georgia. And I've seen people like, what's the SEC doing? Well, you know, some people wait and play these games later in the year to get their legs under them. Everybody else plays these games. You just play them a different time. People are like, oh, this shouldn't be. Well, there's other good games to watch. But 1-9 Charlotte against Georgia, man, it's a 44.5-point spread. And sometimes I wonder, like, how conscious of that is, you know, Kirby Smart and people like that, you know? I don't know. I'm going to pick Georgia and the points because this Charlotte team is absolutely hapless. I don't think there's any question that Georgia's going to win this game considerably. It's just going to be really a matter of if they cover or not. You know, that's really what it boils down to. Charlotte's only win was against Monmouth, and that was a barn burner of a game, 42-35. 42-35. Pretty crazy stuff. So we'll take Georgia and we'll take the points. That's one of those I'm kind of sweating out just because of the fact that they're much involved. That's a huge spread this time of year because you never know, like, how long are the starters going to play, you know. So we'll see. Eastern Illinois at Alabama. There's no line on this game, nor should there be. Of course, there are lots of rumors out there that Kalen DeBoer is now connected to the Penn State search. I don't know if I believe that or not. I don't know. Why would you leave Alabama for Penn State? Doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, we'll see. But, yeah, it's just something else. Makes you wonder if there's not some other people out there kind of playing manipulation games with the media. People love this kind of stuff. A lot of clickbait bandits out there that love to make you think they know something they don't. But, yeah, I guess crazier things have happened. You can get tickets for this game for less than $10. If you're inclined this weekend, you just want to go enjoy some college football, they're basically giving these tickets away. Again, Eastern Illinois to Alabama, what a dog of a game. A game that may prove to be a little more interesting. It shouldn't be, but it may be. Mercer is 9-1, going to play Auburn the week before the Iron Bowl. You know, you like Auburn to win here just because of the fact that you've got, you know, you got a great defense. But that offense could make this an ugly game. Mercer lost game number one to Presbyterian 15-10. They have won every game since then. They're used to winning. They finally got the offense going about middle of the year. And they trounced Samford 45-21 earlier. And then, you know, the last 4 weeks, they scored 49 or more points. Could they make this game interesting? Would this be a fun one for us to watch? You know, we'll see. It's on SEC Network Plus. You'll have to stream it. But, guys, they got a quarterback that's thrown for 3,200 yards this year. 33 touchdowns against 5 picks. They might make this thing interesting.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
You can get tickets to this game for $20 or less. We'll take Auburn. No line on this game, but I won't be surprised. There's talk that Deuce Knight's going to start this game. You know, they'll script some things out for him. But Auburn might be looking ahead a little bit, and maybe they can't afford to. I think they win the game, but, man, I tell you what, it could be one of those games that maybe is a little too close for comfort. Kentucky and Vanderbilt. I think this could be an upset. I don't think it's a great matchup for Vandy. I know Pavi has done some good things, and he makes them go. He's kind of the magic man. But Kentucky's kind of figured some things out here the last couple of weeks. And as you guys know from your experience of the Dan Mullen era, Kentucky does a good job negating the quarterback run. Kentucky has won three in a row. They went to Auburn and won 10-3. What a terrible game that was. They rout Florida 38-7. They rout previously unbeaten Tennessee Tech, and they should have. I'm going to take Kentucky here to cover. I don't know if they can win, but I do expect them to cover. I think that Kentucky defense will have some odd fronts. Vandy is favored by 8.5. But we're going to take Kentucky to cover. I just don't know if I feel comfortable enough with that offense to say that they can win on the road in the SEC. It's a big game for Vandy. Nobody's talking about them in the playoffs. But they could be 9-2. Could be. Need some help. But could they backdoor this thing? Maybe. Arkansas and Texas. This should be a fun one. And you say, Steve, Arkansas's 2-8 and they're 0-6 in the SEC. All that's true. Texas, for all intents and purposes, has been eliminated from the playoff. They're still going to get a great bowl allocation. It's going to be a great deal for them. You know, they'll get some juice going down the stretch. And, of course, there's all this chatter about, will Sark bolt to the NFL? Longhorns favored by 8.5 here. I feel like Arkansas is going to be able to score. And that's the one thing with Petrino you've been able to say is that they hadn't won games because they're so bad defensively. They've been a little bit better, but not great. And they nearly won last week in Baton Rouge. They lose 23-22. And again, there's some athletes on that LSU defense, but you know, it's been a long, difficult season for Arkansas fans. I don't think anybody over there is excited about the direction of things. And I think they value that job a lot higher than everybody else does. And it's a tough year when you're right now the fourth best opening of the four openings in the SEC. I think we can be honest about that. LSU and Florida and Auburn are better jobs than Arkansas. Anybody that suggests otherwise is just either an Arkansas fan or somebody that's just kind of devoid of facts. But I wouldn't put it past Arkansas for winning this game. The Longhorns favored by 8.5. We're going to take Texas in the points. I think they'll get it done. But, man, this could be fun. Could be fun. Probably a sleepy good game that I think is better, that will probably turn out better than the odds makers suggest. Coastal Carolina is at South Carolina. The Gamecocks are favored by 24.5. That feels like free money. If you watched South Carolina last week, absolutely fall apart in that second half, how could you feel confident about Carolina covering this game and then potentially winning this game? I just don't see the Gamecocks winning this game by 24.5. I'm going to take Coastal, who is 6-4. And I think when you kind of look at this Coastal thing too, it gets a little interesting from time to time, you know, with that offense. But, you know, they lose last week Georgia Southern, but they put up 40 points in the game. They're going to be able to score, I think. And the only time they haven't really this year, those two times, they lost to Virginia 48-7 and to Old Dominion 47-7. They lost to South Carolina, East Carolina 238-0. But since that loss to Old Dominion, they've won four of the last five and then lose a barn burner of a game at Georgia Southern. Knocked off App State, Marshall, Georgia State. They're doing pretty good within their league. Could be an interesting bowl matchup for somebody. But can't say I go as far as pick Coastal to win this thing, but I do expect them to cover. Primetime football, we got a couple. One good game, I think, and one game that will be a bit of a toss-up, I guess. And that sounds kind of crazy considering who's participating. I don't think the Tennessee-Florida game is going to be very good. Tennessee's favored by 4.5 in the Swamp. This Florida team finds a way to get in their way over and over and over again. I give them credit last week. I mean, they played Ole Miss really hard, and you could argue they could have won the game. I think kind of mismanaging things down the stretch cost them. Really cost both teams, but Ole Miss had enough to overcome it. But this Florida team hasn't won with Billy Gonzalez as the interim coach. They were competitive in a couple of games. Of course, Kentucky blasted them. It's last SEC game of the year for Florida. And you remember beginning of the year, some people were saying they were projecting Florida to go 5-7. Some people said 4-8. They're 3-7 right now. So, again, out of bowl contention. But, yeah, they're playing hard, I guess you could say. But I like Tennessee here as the road favorite. Could be an interesting game. I think this wacky closeout tonight could be one of the more interesting games of the day. Now, what I mean by that, Western Kentucky's 8-2. I don't know if you've kept up, but they're 8-2. They're not going to be in town there to play OSU. And OSU can't score. Now, I don't know if the Hilltoppers can stop them. You know, and of course, it's tough to go play a night game at OSU and they get to do that 80% of the time, which I think is unfair. But when you kind of begin to break this thing down and you look at the fact that, you know, LSU is, you know, 6-4, just kind of playing out the string. There's some guys up there that are probably thinking about the portal. There's all this Lane Kiffin drama. Is he going to LSU? Is he going to Florida? Is he staying in Oxford? You just don't know. Just kind of move forward with life if you're a college football player at LSU. So, kind of looking back at the Western Kentucky season, the two losses came to Toledo on the road and then FIU. They couldn't score in that game. But offensively, they've been really good for the most part. Yeah, you start working through this thing. They've actually played pretty well on the road too. They are 3-1 in road games this year. Now, they haven't taken on anything quite like what they're going to see at Tiger Stadium. But I would suspect these guys are going to show up expecting to win. Now, LSU's favored by 21.5. The over-under is 50. I think LSU's going to have a tough time covering. I do. Nussmeier has not had a good year. You know, Durham, the running back's got 447 yards, probably the least amount among the feature backs, the power programs in the SEC. We'll take LSU to win, but I'm going to take Western Kentucky to cover. And, again, I think, you know, there's some bad games out there, but I think there's some intriguing games that maybe are going to exceed maybe the showcase that we thought we'd have. You know, Tennessee-Florida, like, traditionally is a huge game, right? That's two teams going in different directions. And even Tennessee at 7-3 is just ranked 20th, you know. So there's not a lot of marquee matchups, but I think there could be some games of real interest here. And I love that 11 o'clock Missouri and Oklahoma game. I don't know that I'm going to leave the house on Saturday, to be quite honest with you. We'll have to go run and get some food at some point, but maybe we can take care of that tonight. I look forward to a day and a weekend off. We'll have to do some work tomorrow on Gene's page, but you know, some of that will be based on our recruiting reconnaissance tonight. I'm going to head down to Macon, Mississippi, and see Noxubee County and Choctaw County play. Eager to see Jaden Taylor play again. That's the younger brother, of course, of Kamario Taylor that is committed to Mississippi State. And then Ben Jarvis Shoemaker, very talented defensive lineman out of Choctaw County for next year. Eager to see him play in person for the first time. And that's one of the reasons we go. You know, it's not just to get pictures. But I got some other. I got some video, some highlight packages from earlier in the season we haven't put out yet. I may do some of that tomorrow too. Some of that's J.J. Hill. It just depends on how good the footage is. But yeah, I'm going to enjoy this, and we so look forward to college football season. We do, and it seems like it goes by so quickly. And it's one of those things when you're winning, like you look forward to every week. When you're losing, it just feels like such a grind. And I think for Mississippi State fans, it's kind of falling somewhere in the middle. And you go back and you think about the win against Arizona State and how fun that was, and you felt like we were turning a corner and felt like we could compete with anybody. And then we did. We just didn't get another big marquee win. And, of course, that win over Arkansas against the defense is just terrible. You know, we had our moments in that game, but we had some moments we'd like to have back. But, you know, here we are, a week away from the Egg Bowl, needing one more to get bowl eligible. And there's so much chatter out there about the Lane Kiffin stuff. And listen, you know, based on what we know about Lane Kiffin, he clearly loves attention. Clearly loves attention. So, you know, he's loving this even more. But the thing that I have also, too, as a sports journalist, I've watched the coverage of these coaching searches. And I am so glad I'm not in the middle of one. But also, too, there just seems to be so much misinformation out there. There's so much out there that you would say, okay, well, hey, if this coach, like typically how it works, you don't bring a coach to campus unless he is like the priority candidate. You know, you don't. You know, people are tracking planes and there's a lot of Zoom calls that happen. There's some in-person meetings that take place. But there's a lot to all this. But, you know, the fact that the Kiffin family visited Florida and LSU and, of course, Ole Miss, you know, it adds some real intrigue. And this is one of those crazy ones that I'm just so glad that we're not a part of. So glad that we're not a part of any of this stuff. And I've seen all the funny memes out there that Lane Kiffin's headed to Jackson Prep. Saw one that he's going to be a meteorologist. You know, and people are having some fun with this. But at the end of the day, you know, if you're Ole Miss, it's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. And I've got people that have talked to Keith Carter that says he's really frustrated. And I don't blame him. I mean, Keith Carter was a guy, when he got hired, some people kind of questioned the hire. He goes out and he hires Lane Kiffin. Some people question the hire. Well, it's worked out really well. How could you argue against that? And so if you're Keith Carter, it's like, man, I don't have to worry about football. We just got to worry about everything else. Football will take care of itself. We kind of, you know, kind of got a chance to print money over there. Because people are going to buy season tickets, things are going great, we're playing for things of significance. And now all of a sudden, you know, the magic man in all of this, Lane Kiffin, is flirting with other schools. Now, a lot of people think all this is for attention and that he eventually will just stick with Ole Miss, and he may. But the thing that I want to point out to Ole Miss fans, and really to our fans, and really college fans around the country, when you put these stories together, and many of them are kind of fueled by things other people say. There's a lot of PR stuff that happens, right? Every coach around the country will tell you how much they love living where they live. Nobody is ever going to come out and say, well, the job is great, but we don't like living here. Everybody involved talks about how much they love the community and all the local restaurants and how it feels like a family. Everybody does it. Don't fall for none of that BS, man. They may be happy with their living arrangement. Listen, I'm the kind of guy, I feel like, you know, wherefore I am, I shall be content, right? I will make the most of it. I've lived some great places, but none greater than here. This is where I was born to be. Love being here. The difference is I'm not being courted and having people all the time offering me millions of dollars. So no matter how much somebody may like Oxford, when you've got an opportunity to be the highest paid coach in college football, even higher than Kirby Smart without winning a national championship, all of a sudden you find out you can get breakfast at a lot of different places. And while we are obviously friendly, you know, with our coaches, they're not our friends. And that's important to understand, too. They're not our friends. Now, you may make some friends, and you may build some relationships with people, but your friendship is not going to keep them there. You know, they'll have the big spiel. We'll miss all of our great friends at this place, whatever. And maybe you trade a few texts, you get together in the offseason. Maybe. But don't delude yourselves into thinking, well, he's going to stay here because they love it so much in Oxford, because you love it so much in Oxford. It's a big difference. It's just your neighbor, and it's the hired help, right? At the end of the day, these people are hired to do a job. They're going to do that job, and if they do it well, they're going to get other opportunities. It's a little different scenario. Like when you look at like Justin Parker. We got Jacob Parker too. But, you know, the money that a pitching coach is paid is significant, but it's not necessarily life-changing. It's not $12, $13, $14 million. It's not a lottery ticket, right? So when Justin Parker says, me and my wife love it here, we enjoy raising our son here, that is a little different, right? Because when all this talk was about, you know, Miami, about the staff at South Carolina leaving for Miami, there was a lot of chatter that the Parkers didn't want to go to Miami. They didn't want to raise their son down there. It's just not what they were looking for. And so Mississippi State and Starkville matches up perfect. You can kind of take that with a sense of truth, because the money's not even comparable. Like, if I promise you this, as much as I like Coach Parker, if Miami called him and said, hey, we're going to give you $10 million to come down here, he'd be on the next flight out, right? Because that's best for his family. It is. And so I think it's important to kind of take all of this PR stuff with a grain of salt. Every coach around the country, I mean, the guy at Northwestern State's going to tell you how much he loves Natchitoches. You know, the guy at Stephen F. Austin is going to tell you how much he loves Nacogdoches. The people at Nicholls State are going to talk about how Thibodeau is such a great place to raise a family. And you know what? All that's probably true. But everything changes when there's life-changing money involved. It is. So don't think just because your kids are in RAs or in the Girl Scouts or whatever with your coach's kids, don't think that's going to be a factor in these decisions. It's not. And for people that end up staying, they end up referencing that because they have to cultivate support within the community. A lot of this is very disingenuous. It truly is. So I have no clue what Lane Kiffin's going to do, much like the other people that are reporting on this. I have no clue. They don't have any clue either, but they have a duty to report. And a lot of these reports have come out. People are ready for resolution. And like I've read Neil McCready's report from today, because I'm interested, right? And Neil's like, here's what we're hearing, you know, and sometimes there's not a lot to it. You know, they do a good job kind of sharing what they're hearing, but there's just nothing to know yet. You know, fans get frustrated, and you want resolution. You want this to be over so you can focus on the egg and focus on the playoffs and focus on your season. But people want information when there's not a lot of true information just yet. Head to the Egg Bowl. We got to pick another player of the day. Again, I think it's going to have to be a scenario where we have to do a good job against the run. I think the linebackers have got to be really, really good. I don't think there's any question. Nick Mitchell is going to have a big game for us. Of course, your player of the day brought to you by CloseWithBlair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. His phone number, because he can't truly be your friend if you don't have his phone number. It's 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Reminds me of one of my favorite adages. Somebody said, Dave, you've got a problem with me, you got a personal problem with me, then call me. Well, I don't have your number. Well, if you don't have my number, you don't know me well enough to have a personal problem with me. So now you can reach out and call and text Blair about all your mortgage needs, because he is your friend. Save that number in your phone, this mortgage guy. You may not remember the name, but you'll always remember the need, and you want to save yourself some guesswork later on. It's one of his life hacks. Blair's got 25 years of experience. Now with Fairway Mortgage, got his own operation. Things, business booming for Blair. Closing a couple of own yard loans in the month of December, he tells me. And you could be like so many others that have had Blair be your advocate with underwriting to help navigate through the labyrinth that is mortgage origination. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, the only name to know is Blair Chandler at closeatblair.com. And maybe ask about that game day condo that may prove to be more affordable than you think. He's a very creative guy. He can get things done. That's Blair Chandler at closeatblair.com. And as mentioned, Nick Mitchell's going to have a big game for us. We need Isaac Smith back. We expect to have him back. I don't know if he'll be 100%, but we got to get the egg back. And defensively, we got to play better. And I do think the Isaac Smith injury has been one of some significance for us. But Nick's going to have to kind of carry a little bit of the load there. Nick is a guy that, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't sure how much he'd play when he got here. And now you look at what he's done the last 2 years. He's been very patient. He's worked hard. He's improved. We're going to need him to have one of the best games of his career against Ole Miss, against that running game. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. We're going to have to be much better defensively to make this thing a contest. Our time for today's top 10 list is always brought to you by Kalido Guitars, C-A-L-I-D-O guitars.com. The only name to know if you're a guitar player. It's your guitar shop. They specialize in guitars, but they handle other stringed instruments. Incredible selection, exemplary customer service before, during, and after the sale. One of the things, again, that I have to recommend, it's just getting your guitar set up properly. And maybe you're a pro and you don't need any help with that. But if you're like me, you could use a little direction. Man, when I got my Steve Vai signature guitar, it was ready to play. All I had to do was pull off the little plastic sticker, plug in the amp, and we're ready to play. And I'm going to play some this weekend too. I owe it to myself. I've had a little bit of an elbow issue here as of late. Probably some tendonitis, but we're going to play this weekend, see if we can't play our way through it. You owe it to yourself to have some creative pursuits. Maybe you've always thought about picking up the guitar. Maybe you've thought about picking it up again. Maybe you play regularly and it's time to upgrade your rig. Well, Kalido Guitars can help you with every bit of that. They can. Now, they're going to give you some incentive. Whether you're looking for an acoustic guitar, a classical guitar, or an electric guitar, a beginner guitar, a mid-level guitar, or a pro-grade guitar, they can help you with all that. But if you use promo code BSR, and you can use that in person at their expansive showroom down in Lake Jackson, Texas, you can use it over the phone, or you can use it online. When you use that promo code, that triggers a 10% discount. That gives you no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. That gets you free shipping, and they're going to make a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. What's better than that? You get a name brand quality instrument at a discounted price. You win, they win, Mississippi State wins. That's KalidoGuitars.com. Check them out today. All right, earlier this morning I made a purchase. I did. It won't be here till next week. Got me a new Allison Chains shirt on the way. Don't tell the wife. She says I got. She just this week said you have so many clothes. That may be true. That may be true. But here's what I know: is I like to be fresh. You know, I like to be excited about stuff. And you know, I want good things for myself. You know, I do. And so I got an Allison Chains shirt, and I bought that in conjunction with a new book. I don't just write them, I read them. I don't read as much as I should, to be quite honest with you. I don't. And I got to find something that really, really moves the needle. And so I've got this new Allison Chains book, My Angry Pen, on its way to Starkville, Mississippi. This angry pen of mine, recovering the journals of Lane Staley. Now, I wanted to wait until after the book came out. The cover is fabulous, but I wanted to see what people had to say, you know, about this. And there are some people out there that have been critical of the family. They're trying to profit off this, and I'm going to read you a couple of these reviews. This young lady, Ashley Klein, I have no connection with her whatsoever. But she goes, I've been waiting for this book since it was announced, so I happily devoured it today. It was beautifully done, well put together, a well-organized mishmash of papers and artwork. A lot of folks were worried about Lane's privacy being compromised, but it's not. His family was extremely respectful. There is no tea. And if you're interested enough to buy this book, you probably won't learn anything new. The journal entries aren't really that personal. They are rough drafts of lyrics mainly. It feels like going through a family album. It's very sweet. It included multiple childhood pictures with his siblings. The artwork was cool to see. My point is, this is very respectful. The best parts, in my opinion, are the intros from the family. The inclusion of fan art was a pleasant surprise. One more quick review from Alexandra. First off, thank you to Nancy McCollum. That's Lane's mom. This book is a hauntingly beautiful look into Lane's life, personality, addiction, and mental health, his art, and the impact he's left on the world. This book was well put together, allowing readers insight through Lane's loved ones, Lane's own writing, his art, and photos of Lane as well. I love the fan art and the additional letters from other artists and various professionals. This drives home the influence he had and the love people had for him, whether they knew him or not. It's a heartbreaking read, but also some humorous and heartwarming stories. I'm glad the Lane's Daily Foundation was discussed as well, since I only heard of it when I found it by accident a while back, but they're doing such great work in the memory of Lane and in honor of his legacy of inspiration and motivation for change. So just a couple things there. So I, as a guy that's an Alice in Chains freak, and I am, I love Alice in Chains. It's still difficult for me to listen to the newer stuff, but I just wanted to wait and make sure that this was respectfully done. And I have made a donation to the Lane Staley Foundation before, got a couple shirts from them because they do a lot of work in recovery in the greater Seattle area. And so I thought this was an important book to buy because I am a freak when it comes to Alice in Chains. But I didn't want to buy something that came across exploitive, right? So that's where we are. So in honor of the release of this book, it's been out 10 days. You can find it on Amazon or in great bookstores everywhere. The Angry Pen of Mine, Recovering the Journals of Lane Staley. And I absolutely cannot wait to have this. It's going to be here Wednesday. And a lot going on in life, but I'll make time to go through that. And I've already told the bride, that's when I get done with it, I'll let you kind of thumb through it as well. But it got me thinking, what could we do today on a top 10 list? In honor of the release of this book about one of the greatest voices in the history of rock and roll. And I got to thinking, you know, about songs they performed a lot. Well, I stumbled upon this. There are 11 songs in the Alice in Chains catalog that were never performed live during the Lane Staley era. And so I have put my top 10 together. There is one of those that is not available on Spotify, or I would throw that one out to you as well. But I don't know how we find it. But here are the top 10 songs from the Lane Staley era that were never performed live. Interesting topic, I think, for fans of Alice in Chains. Those are my feelings. Maybe you feel differently. But I think you're going to be surprised with some of these. I was. And I don't have a good answer on some of these. I have some theories, but I don't know for sure why some of these were not played live. There's a couple of them that make a lot of good sense of why they weren't played live. But, you know, we'll get to those as we get to them. But trying to get over to this master list here. We're almost there, I think. Let's see here. Yeah, some other people have had this. So, you know, everybody has the list. I'm ranking them in my opinion, right? There's a bunch of songs they haven't played live off of the some of the newer stuff. But here we go. So we're going to go number 10 is a track. There's some deeper cut. There's like five tracks off the self-titled album that are on your list here. Now, my feeling about that album is a little different. Fear the Voices is one that is not available. Fear the Voices was in the Music Bank. That was like basically a box set. But a track called So Close off the self-titled album. Many refer to that album as Tripod because the bulldog gets missing a leg. But that's one of those ones I don't like the tempo. It does, to me, it doesn't, until Lane kicks in, it doesn't sound like an Alice in Chains song. And I think this Alice in Chains, this self-titled album, was a little bit disjointed. And I think the older that we get and the more we go back and listen to it, I think you can kind of feel some of the chaos that was going on in the life of Lane Staley and, of course, in the Alice in Chains camp. And I think that comes across here. Some good tracks on that album, but I think it does come off as a bit of a disjointed effort. So Close, number 10. And then kind of following that same theme, your number 9 track is Nothing Song. And some of these tracks, too, like Alice in Chains wrote a lot about a lot of serious stuff, but they also had a bit of a sense of humor. And so some of these songs were maybe a little bit silly. Nothing Song is kind of a shot at that. Number 8 also, all in the same vein here. The first three songs on our list come from that self-titled album. It's going to be Head Creeps, which is a very aggressive song. I just don't like it as much as some of the other stuff. Then number 7, talking about the silly stuff, I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about Jar of Flies. And if it tells you anything about how I feel about it, I've got Jar of Flies album cover tattooed on my left elbow. May have to have that touched up soon. But there's a track that closes the album called Swing on This. And it's one of those sillier songs. It's not in any way representative of anything else in the Alice in Chains catalog. It is very unique in that aspect, but it's just, it's a silly song to close that EP, which is astonishing. Number 6, back to the self-titled album. And I think this is one of the stronger tracks on the album, even though it was never performed live. It's Shame in You. Shame in You, number 6. Now, number 5, also from the self-titled album. This is a heavy track, man. Like, when you go back and you listen to the Alice in Chains catalog in its entirety, to me, this is one of those songs that just kind of jumps out and maybe shows the direction that Alice in Chains was going. I love it, man. I think the guitar, I think Jerry does just a killer job here. And it's a track called Brush Away. And I think it actually should have been a single from the album. You know, again, is the one that kind of highlights that album for us. But Brush Away is a very significant track. I think it's one of those ones you look at in hindsight and you're like, you know what, this could have been something of significance here for Alice in Chains, you know, directionally. I think that's fair to say. And I'm pulling up my track listing from that self-titled album. Grind, obviously, is one, you know, Sludge Factory. Heaven Beside You is fabulous. But there's some high points on the album. Frogs is one that's kind of a sillier song, too, and it's about them as a band. But there's a lot to like on this album. Over Now is another one. But there are some other songs here that kind of feel a little bit like filler, and some of those are on your list today. But Brush Away is definitely a high point. It's the second track on the album. Now, number 4. It's the last song that Lane Staley recorded with Alice in Chains. It was originally written for Jerry Cantrell's solo album. And then Lane Staley liked it so much, they wanted to do it. Now, what you hear in the release version has not been overly polished. It's basically a glorified demo. And as Jerry Cantrell said, it's basically just us jamming. And the track is called Died, which is ironic that that's the last song that Lane Staley sang with Alice in Chains. Those are the things it's just kind of a coincidence, I guess. But the song itself in its own form right now is great. I can only begin to imagine like if they remastered it, you know, or if Lane had the benefit of, you know, kind of getting together and really, you know, hammering out these vocals. I think it could have been a huge hit for them. And again, that's part of the music bank, and you can find it like on iTunes Essentials and things like that. But, you know, it's just one of those songs too that when you listen back now, knowing what we know, it kind of makes you sad. All right. The next three I think are great. You're going to know two of the three unless you're a huge Allison fans freak like me. Number three is Get Born Again by Alice in Chains. And I absolutely loved this track. I loved it when it first came out. And I don't know how you guys felt about it. But it's one of those songs, too, that I think kind of highlights kind of what's happened with them over the years. I think it is kind of a quintessential Alice in Chains track. And it's very, very visible. You can find it just about anywhere. But, you know, it's a song really about religious hypocrisy. And I think the lyrical content in this would probably be disturbing for some people. But it's really, you know, very timely in many respects. You know, and this came out, you know, back in the late 90s, I guess 99 or so. But it's just one of those interesting tracks that kind of shows some of the things that the band was going through. This was a Jerry Cantrell song, just so you guys know. It was not one that Lane brought in, but he wrote the lyrics to it. Jerry already had the music together. And then, but it's one of, it's, if you want to know the Alice in Chains experience, sonically, this is it. The number two, off the Sap EP. We've had this on the show before, and it makes sense why it wasn't performed. Because of the fact that it was a duet with Chris Cornell. And it's a great track called Right Turn. And I guess Mark Lanneman's on it too. It's basically just kind of a friend event. And they were in the middle of album cycles. And this was, Sap was kind of the precursor to Dirt. But I love the track. And I love Chris's part on it. And Lane's part on it is great too. And lyrically, it's great. And I think it's kind of a hidden gem in the Alice in Chains catalog because a lot of people didn't pick up Sap. And what's interesting about that, too, is, you know, back in the day, we didn't have a lot of money. And so if you were going to go buy a CD, you wanted to get a full-length CD. You didn't just want to go get an EP, even though they were a little bit cheaper. It just seemed like a waste of money. And so a lot of people that even loved Alice in Chains back then kind of slept on Sap, and some went back and bought it. Of course, you can just download all this stuff today. But I have it. I have one of the original pressings, and this was released back in 1992 when things were really starting to take off for them. And I really believe when you go back, if you're ever just like traveling and maybe listen to Facelift in its entirety and then listen to Sap and then Dirt, I think there's a nice bridge in there. I think you can see it in the maturation of them as songwriters in Sap. And I think it's an underappreciated part of their history. But number one, and this surprises me, but the more that I think about it, it kind of makes sense. We're going back to Jar of Flies. And of course, just about everybody on every song on Jar of Flies was a hit in some respects. And every song was played live with the exception of two, which is interesting. Swing on This wasn't, but also, and this is your number one track, it's I Stay Away, which is one of the best vocals in the Alice in Chains catalog. It is some of Lane Staley's best work in my estimation. That vocal is so powerful. If I was going to try to sell you on Lane Staley, this is one of the first songs I'd pull up. But there is an orchestra, there's a huge string arrangement, and so it may have been difficult to pull this song off live and do it justice just with the four-piece, right? Maybe you get the you know, the Seattle Symphony together and you could pull this thing off, but it was never played live. during the Lane Staley era. So that's your top 10 list today. I thought those of you, like me, that love Alice in Chains would find this of interest. You know, the bride and I talked about this. I said, hey, here's today's top 10 list. And she goes, oh, that's an interesting topic. I think so, too. And we can never get enough Alice in Chains. And so I look forward to reading the book. I'll get it next week. I'm sure I'll knock it out pretty quick because it doesn't sound like it's a ton of text. And maybe we talk about it on next Friday's show or maybe the Monday after. And I'll let you guys know what I think. But if you're a fan of the band, I would encourage you to buy it just so you would have it, right? Even if you're not an avid reader, and I don't think you have to be to read this book, but to see, you know, Lane Staley's actual handwriting on some of these songs that we have loved for so for much of our lives, and to see those pictures of him growing up, I think it's a nice retrospective, and I'm eager to own it and to have that close by. And I've got some books stacked up, like right to my right here. I got a book that's been sitting here for like 2 years, and it's Anthony Kiedis's Scar Tissue, and I'll read that at some point too. During the winter months and when there's not football to be played, I do a lot of reading. And that's my plan, my promise to myself is I've got a handful of books I've got to read. I got Breakfast at Tiffany's. I want to read that, you know. I've got that, not a long book. But I also have Horseshoes and Hand Grenades, the autobiography of John Corabi that I was able to pick up with John when I had a chance to run his merch table when he was opening for Brother Kane, and then, of course, the Kiedis book. But I'll get the Alice in Chains one knocked out first, and then, you know, we've got a lot of holiday season coming up, and I spend a lot of time here at the house alone. So when we're not working, we're going to do some reading. And I look forward to knocking those books out. I like reading. I like writing, but I like reading too. And reading as a writer, I think, is extremely important. Because you get so caught up with repetitive phrasing. And then all of a sudden you read what somebody else and how they put something and it kind of triggers something in your mind. It's like, oh yeah, I could do that this way. That's how I feel. You may see it differently. But anyway, again, fans of Alice in Chains, probably worth your time to pick up the new Lane Staley book. You know, this angry pen of mine. And I look forward to having it. I know you guys do as well. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Samanti on X at Dogmatic67. It's like, Steve, why am I getting Roy? Well, Roy is the keeper of the list, and Roy's my friend. And so Roy doesn't get as many notifications as me, and he can help make sure that you get your list to me, but also to in the queue, right? You can find our great list on Spotify on that same handle. Again, it's Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. And I'm on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R. Our next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart. I'll be there soon. Yeah. Saturday after the egg. I'll be there for a while. We'll get your details firmed up next week. But whether you come to see me or not, Campus Bookmart needs to be your one-stop shop for all your Mississippi State merchandising needs. Miss Kathy Brown does an amazing job outfitting that place with the best and newest Mississippi State merch. Whether it's apparel, gift ideas, everything you need for your fan cave, you can find it at Campus Bookmart. Stop by and see them the next time that you're in Starkville. If you can't make it to town, or perhaps game day is a difficult shopping day for you, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That's BSR. That's right, BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. Let me again stump for the diploma frames. It is a great gift. Got them for my girls as they graduated from Mississippi State, and they love them. They do. And I know that every time they look at their diploma, they're going to remember that mom and dad took care of that for them. So it's a very thoughtful and timeless gift, something you should peruse. And mom, don't overthink it. We're just about a month away from Christmas. Stick with the winners. Stick with Campus Bookmart. Stick with Mississippi State gear. Everybody in the Bulldog family wants more Mississippi State gear. In good times and in bad, we're still proud to be Bulldogs. We're happy to rep the brand. So, Mom, campusbookmart.net, promo code BSR. All right, we had a real opportunity on the basketball side of things last evening, and we did not come through. Very disappointed with the men's result especially. But we'll jump over here to the women's side. I can't be beat up about this one too much. You know, we were undefeated. Texas Tech was undefeated. We went down there and jumped all over them in their own backyard. And it really felt like, hey, Bulldogs are going to just roll through this thing. 31 points in the first quarter. Bulldogs outscored Texas Tech 31-16. And that seems like an insurmountable lead in women's hoops. Well, Texas Tech climbs back into it in the second. They ratchet up the defense, and the Bulldogs really struggle to throw anything in on the offensive end. Bulldogs scored just 2 points, outscored 15-2. And you hold that thin 33-31 lead at the break. And then the third period, you kind of right the ship a little bit. We trade baskets. And so it becomes a fourth quarter game. State takes a 2-point lead on the road, needing to finish, and we're unable to do so. Texas Tech outscores State 26-17 in the final frame to win 69-62. Again, can't beat us up too much, but man, if just a little bit there in that second quarter, it's maybe a different conversation, but it just kind of felt like we wore down. Destiny McFall with a dozen points. Treyana Crisp with a dozen as well. Madison Francis making her first start as a Bulldog. Pitches in 10. She was 5 of 12 from the field. Going to need her to be good in order for us to do some great things. Favor Nwadazi, 9 points for her. She also pulled down 9 rebounds to lead the team. Carissa Richardson, 9 rebounds for her, but you know, offensive game is just not where you want it to be, but you need some players who can play a little defense. But Chandler Prater pitches in 7. But you know, pretty good offensive contributions from the Bulldogs in this game, but 5 of 16 from beyond the arc. And in many respects, you go back and you kind of look at this, you know, neither team was great when it came to 3-point shooting. They were 3 of 19. So we did a pretty good job defending the perimeter there. They pulled down 36 boards. We pulled down 39. And you look at this and you wonder, why, you know, how could we lose? Well, we found a way to. We did. Come out just red hot, shooting almost 53% in that first quarter. Bulldogs are 1 of 13 in the second quarter for 7.7%. And then end that decisive fourth quarter when we had a chance to pull off the road upset. Bulldogs just 4 of 10. And looking at, you know, it's crazy to go back and look, 8 of 18. So they nearly double our shot output in the fourth quarter, but they do double our baskets. And 9 of 9 from the free throw line, that proved to be very significant in this ballgame. But we lose. And again, I can't beat us up too much just because of the fact, you know, it's a road game against a Power 4 team. It's undefeated. But, you know, those are the games that we expect to win. There's not a lot of high points in this non-conference schedule. So when you have those opportunities, you've got to come through. Now, Monday afternoon, Mississippi State will play in Niceville, Florida against Alcorn State, kind of completing the Mississippi HBCU trifecta. That's Monday, 1:30 on Flow Sports. If you're in the greater Niceville, Florida area, maybe you can take the day off and go support the Bulldogs. They'll be back in action on Tuesday playing either Middle Tennessee State or Providence. Now, there is a lot of angst right now about Mississippi State men's basketball. I think it's well-deserved. You know, we spend a fortune on men's basketball. Bulldogs now 2-2. We've played 2 Power 4 opponents and essentially been handled by both. And that was the thing about that Kansas State game yesterday. I mean, again, we play again today, 6 p.m. against New Mexico. We absolutely have to win that game. Absolutely have to win that game. But I tell you, you go back now and you think about how brutal the opening was in that North Alabama game. We got it going late. And we out-athleted them. But when we have games where we are not maybe the superior athletic team, maybe we're equal, we're struggling. And again, you look at that Southeastern Louisiana team. You know, we should have been able to out-athlete them. We only win by 7. We lose last night 98-77. We are not playing good defense, and we are turning the basketball over way too much. At the break against Kansas State, we're down 44-36, so it's just 8. And you feel like, hey, you know, a couple stops here and there, we can get caught up. State actually picks up the offensive production in the second half, scoring 41 points, but we allowed 54. So whatever we said at halftime did not work. And to be honest with you, Josh Hubbard, in many respects, is kind of carrying this team. Got a nice effort last night from Jaden Epps. Good to see him healthy. Hub, with 23 points in the ballgame, pulled down a couple of rebounds. He was 8 of 9 from the free throw line, but just 1 of 6 from beyond the arc. Quincy Ballard pitches in 10. Akor, 5 points for him, pulls down 9 rebounds, and maybe that's his role. Sean Jones, you know, one of our offensive heroes a couple nights ago, had just 4 points. Shot just 4 attempts, and maybe he needed to shoot more. Pulled down 6 rebounds, played some good defense for us. He's kind of alone. Jabari McGee started and played 30 minutes. Did not make a basket. Connected on 1 free throw, scores 1 point. No rebounds. Did hand out 4 assists, but turned the ball over 3 times. And really, turnovers and defense, the story of this game, especially late. You know, granted, we had 27 the other night, just 14 turnovers, and you think you ought to be able to win with that, but they were just turnovers at inopportune times. We actually, you know, you start working through this, you know, ball security was definitely a bigger deal for Kansas State. They handed out 22 assists and only turned it over 8 times. You know, we struggled. We absolutely did. And shot 28% in the second half, and then Kansas State gets rolling 53%. Shot 57% in the first half and 53%. Guys, that's not going to work. That's just absolutely, excuse me, 44% in the first, 57% in the second, but 53% from beyond the arc. We knew, based on our preview, that they were going to shoot a lot of three-pointers. They did. They were 10 of 11 from the free throw line, too. They didn't get to the line a whole lot, so we can't complain too much about officiating. But, man, when you got a team out here shooting 50% for the game and then 47% from beyond the arc, you got to work hard to keep up. And we were unable to do it. And you know what? Kansas State may end up being great, but the reality of it is these are the games we have to win if we want to avoid that 8-9 line. And we talk about just winning a game. I ran into James Chapman last night, the son of my friends, Jim and Bonnie Chapman. We met in Baton Rouge. We were like the maroon corks floating in a purple and gold sea down there. Went to church together. Jim and I played church league softball together. The greatest church league softball second baseman of all time is Jim Chapman. So we went to eat last night. I just felt like eating breakfast. So the bride and I went to Waffle House and run into young James Chapman. And he was dejected about the game. He goes, you know what, after that basketball game, I just wanted to get out with my friends and go eat something. And had a chance to meet with them, take a picture, and send it to his dad. And then Jim, as much as I love Jim, I'm going to give you the time on this. Jim sends me a text at 6 a.m. Now, he may be upset with me because I texted him at 11:15 last night. But nevertheless, I think a lot of people feel like I do. It's like we're playing beneath the expectation. And, you know, listen, I'm not going to take shots at people, but, you know, it's one of those things that so many people within our fan base had kind of convinced themselves this is the most talented team that Chris Jans has had. I don't know how you quantify that, but it is clear through 4 games that that's not correct. Because you have a couple struggles with some teams beneath your station, and then you get blown out by 2 teams that are going to be competing with you in the Power 4 to have the opportunity to play into the tournament. So if we're more talented than we have been in recent years, we're going to have to turn this thing around. Now, again, we take on the Lobos of New Mexico tonight, as we finish up the Kansas City event. We'll have coverage over at Gene's page, but kind of working through kind of, you know, what to expect from the Lobos, Of course, I spent some time in Albuquerque, and if we could find the descendants of Santa Ana, I'm okay with giving it back. But looking here at kind of what season it's been so far for UNM, 3-2 on the year. They dropped two in a row. They opened up with a couple of preseason games. They lose at Washington State. They do beat Northern Arizona there in the ABQ. They get East Texas A&M in the season opener, 76-54. They beat UT Arlington, 74-56. They get UC Riverside, 82-68. And then it's been a little more difficult. They lose to the rival Aggies of New Mexico State, 76-68. And then they lose to Nebraska last night, 84-72. That game will tip off tonight at 7. And again, that's not going to be on your ESPN app. It's going to be on Peacock or the NBC Sports Network if you are able to jump aboard there, if you're inclined to watch. But, 3-2 on the year and undefeated at home and 0-2 away from their home arena. Let's take a quick look kind of inside the numbers here. Just kind of see what we're dealing with. But we got to win a game. You know, we got to win a game. And listen, I see your comments on social media. I do. And it's so disappointing, right, when we are expected to be a very good team this year. And we haven't shown that so far. And again, I've got a tremendous amount of faith in Chris Jans and his staff, but we are turning the basketball over way too much. New Mexico averaging 74 points a game, giving up right at 68, outscoring opponents for just right at 7. Shooting about 43% from the field. They are not very equipped to handle the long-range game, shooting 29% from beyond the arc. They are 40 of 36 on the year. They have defended to three about as well as they've shot it. They're right at 30%. They're pulling down 36 boards a game, but they're getting out-rebounded by a fraction there. So that should be something we should be able to exploit. They've handed out about 14 assists a game, but they turn it over 12.2, but they're forcing some turnovers too. And we have had the tendency to help our opponents in that respect. They pickpocketed people 48 times, but only been giving up 28 steals. So pretty much doubled up there. Blocks 13, they've allowed a dozen. It's just kind of part of basketball. But the individual numbers here. As you prepare for this evening's game, Jake Hall leads the team with 12.8 points a game. Pretty balanced scoring. They have five players, four of them who are regular starters, averaging in double figures. And then Uriah Tenet off the bench is pitching in right at 11 per game. Now, Jake Hall has kind of been the three-point marksman for this team. He's shooting about 35%. He's 12 of 34. He has made and shot more three-point baskets than anybody else. Antonio Chall, no relation to the guy that I'm aware of, is 9 of 27. He is the second most prolific three-point shooter on this team. Rebounding is maybe not a strength, as we discussed. Tomislav Boljan has 10 rebounds per game. He also has a tendency to foul. So does Chris Howell. Chris is another starter that has not been quite prolific on the scoring side. Leads the team with 17 personal fouls, but he's also handed out 22 assists. Also got 10 steals. So he appears to be more of a facilitator than a scorer. But, we got to win this game. Simple as that. Regardless of who shows up for them. And then we'll be back in Humphrey Coliseum on Monday. But, again, you look at the early returns here. And there is some cause for concern. I don't think it's time to panic. I've said that. But last night was brutal. Absolutely brutal. And I know many of you feel the same way. But we've got to find a way to turn this thing around. And again, you know, we've been in these situations before where sometimes we kind of stumble out of the gate. But that's typically been an SEC play. Not so much been a non-conference play. And so when you begin to kind of think about what's next, you know, we got UNO coming in here on Monday, and then Friday night you got SMU, another Power Four opponent. Then you got to go to Georgia Tech. You know, we've got to right the ship now. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group to town, and perhaps you should. You've always dreamed of that, right? You see it on TV, you see it in movies, and you think, man, wouldn't it be great if we just like rented a house and everybody stayed together? It's like the movie Grown Ups, right, with Adam Sandler. Just go rent a place and bring all the kids together. Let everybody get to know each other and just hang out for a couple days. That sounds wonderful. We've done it. And I can tell you, you're going to have a blast at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Plenty of room to kind of spread out. The great back porch area. It's just a great place to watch the sunset. It is. Plenty of parking out there, too. It is 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. You get the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the fire pit area, which is so valuable this time of year. And conversations around the fire are just more meaningful. I don't make the rules. It's just kind of how it is. We talk about the parking situation. That's the thing you always think about when you, hey, we're going to go get an Airbnb. I've had Airbnbs before where I had to park on the street. You know, there's nowhere to park. No worries there. It's the old renovated country club at the old country club clubhouse out past the Highlands, if I can get it out. Again, it's 5 minutes away. You're 5 minutes away off 182, and you're tucked away in a nice little neighborhood. It's only got a couple neighbors out there. You don't need to get too rowdy out there, but it's plenty of peace and quiet. Now, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate. You can peruse all the pictures available to all the amenities for you and your guests, and some booking options are also going to be available. You can go through VRBO and Airbnb, but if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's Beautiful Steve Robertson, the number 10, BSR10, gets you 10% off your stay. Be sure and check it out today. You owe it to yourself to plan a trip to Starkville and just get everybody together. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. All right, our recruiting weekend is kind of coming into focus. We have a handful of junior college visitors that are expected to be here for their official visits for the Egg Bowl. And a lot of people think, well, Steve, you know, why are we taking junior college guys? You know, well, number one, we're losing a lot of players this year, so you need depth, you need special teams guys, but you need guys that can provide competition. And as you guys see, we have more depth than we had last year, but it's still probably not enough, especially up front. Now, as it stands today, and this is just what we've confirmed. You know, we get into next week, we'll spend a little more time and effort on this over at jeanspage.com. This kind of ensuring we got you the latest information. But as it stands right now, we have four official visitors set from the junior college ranks. Archie Chambers, out of Colin, linebacker, by way of Edna Carr High School in New Orleans. If you watch the film on him, you're going to be impressed with him. And listen, do I think that he's a starting backer for us? No. But I do think he's a rotation guy. I think he's a special teams guy. And I think then maybe in year two, he might be able to take a step forward and potentially be a starter for us. He's violent on film and had a great career at Warren Easton High School down in New Orleans. Did I say that in the car earlier? I think I did. It's Warren Easton. Dre Riley spoke to him last night. And Purdue is trying to get him to take an official visit to their spot this weekend. Now, Dre tells me he's undecided. He said if he goes, it's just for the experience to go with a friend and kind of hang out and have a good time. His brother is playing a playoff game tonight. He would like to go to that. He said the only reason that he would take the visit this weekend is if he couldn't go see his brother play, like if there was really heavy rains in the forecast and something happened with the game. It, you know, junior college guys say a lot of things, but Dre tells me he's locked in with State and that he will officially visit next week. We really don't expect any drama with him, but any time that somebody gets invited to take a visit somewhere else and they even consider it, it gives you a little pause. But a lot of these guys in JUCO have never been through this experience before, so it's kind of hard to begrudge them that opportunity. Martavius Boswell is another guy that's got a handful of visits. He was supposed to go to Texas State. That's been changed to West Virginia. And then, of course, he'll be with us next week. But he's got three visits. One of the best running backs in the country in a junior college ranks. He's explosive, absolutely explosive. You check this thing down to him, it's not a 4 or 5 yard game. He's going to make people miss. I think watching him run in the open field, I think you'll have a good time watching that. Also from Colin, Mississippi State commitment, Matt Mayfield, who we saw play earlier this year. So three from Colin, one from Northwest. That list will change. Now, Asad Chapman has not confirmed with us, but based on what I've heard from some sources, we think Asad Chapman is going to commit to Oregon sooner rather than later. He's a Cali kid. Oregon, obviously, has done a good job on the West Coast. Makes it easier on his family. I don't know how far San Bernardino is from Eugene, Oregon, but it's a lot closer than it is to Starkville, Mississippi. You know, we're selling a chance to play in the SEC and an opportunity to play against some of the best players in all of college football in hopes of getting you the opportunity to get things on film to get to the National Football League. Oregon's kind of doing the same thing a little bit closer to home. So that's one of those things we kind of look at and a little bit concerned with, I guess. But, yeah, I at this point, I don't expect him to take the visit. That's unfortunate. State was on him, and then Oregon got really serious about him. You know, geography is still a factor for some guys, and not to mention Oregon's got plenty of money too. So we'll see how things play out. But as we get into next week, and we're going to get into next week quicker than normal. And what I mean by that is the Jeff Lebby and player media availability will take place on Sunday rather than Monday. So Sunday will kind of be your regular Monday events. We'll have full coverage of Gene's page, and of course all the press conferences and big room stuff are made available to you for free. We provide transcriptions and video for all readers, not just subscribers, for these media events. So we'll meet with Lab on Sunday, have a few player interviews, and then we'll start getting ready for the Golden Egg. But I felt it was important to kind of tip you guys off about the schedule change, because you'll be like, oh, well, they're doing this today. Yeah. So be looking for that content on Sunday, and then we'll be right back with you on Monday for our first Battle for the Golden Egg show of the week. We'll recap the SEC weekend, and we'll start kind of breaking down some things with Ole Miss. They're off this weekend, too. I will spend some time on Sunday evening forcing myself to watch some Ole Miss football, and we'll kind of get a better sense of who they are. I mean, the record kind of speaks for itself, right? They're 10-1. It's out there. They had an outstanding team and an outstanding season. And again, I say this is probably the best coaching job of Lane Kiffin's life. And I suspect that Lane Kiffin's stock as a football coach will never be higher than it is right now. One of the things that's been kind of a common thing that some of you all have mentioned, and I give you credit for being kind of astute observers of college football, we're talking about, you know, how favorable Ole Miss's football schedule was this year. And it was. I mean, it was. But at the end of the day, you don't pick your SEC schedule. They pick it for you. And then you have the opportunity to go out there and play. You know, and you never know at the beginning of the year just how good everybody's going to be. Of course, they get Georgia State. Of course, they're going to win that. Well, they get Kentucky. You know, Kentucky, a 5-win team, still trying to get there. And they found something here as of late. They were an absolute mess and still nearly won this game. Austin Simmons, of course, was not great in that game. And then you get Arkansas, who is arguably the worst team in the SEC right now. And it took a late fumble to prevent a loss here. And you never know what's going to happen if Ole Miss gets the ball back in a, you know, 42-41 game. But, yeah, inside the Ole Miss 30, Arkansas has the ball ripped out. So Ole Miss has two SEC wins right out of the gate. Then you get Tulane, and they've been good this year. You get LSU. They haven't been. It's a 6-win LSU team. Washington State nearly pulls the upset. You go to Georgia. You blow that game, and Georgia's a really good team. You go to Oklahoma and win, and that's a good Oklahoma team. That's the best win on the schedule for Ole Miss at this point. And then you get South Carolina. Not bowl eligible. You get the Citadel. Come on. Florida, not bowl eligible. So, again, you go back and look at this, you know, kind of in hindsight, and you say, you know, hey, LSU may be a 500 team when it's all said and done. You know, the win over Oklahoma is the best win. They really don't, outside of that, they don't have a quality win anywhere. And how many of these teams are going to finish ranked in the top 25? Well, not many. Well, you look ahead to next year, and I think that's always an important aspect when you live in the Southeastern Conference. is what that SEC schedule is going to look like for 2026. And we know now, you know, for through the 2029 season. But, you know, we talked about Charlotte earlier this year. I mean, like next year's non-conference for Ole Miss is really a joke. I mean, you've got the I guess they still have to put a non-conference game on here. Maybe I'm missing it. But they play Charlotte at Charlotte. Isn't that crazy? We just talked about how bad they are today. So they're going to go to Charlotte, and they get Wofford. I don't know who their third non-conference game is going to be, and we don't know all the dates yet. But they will travel to the Swamp. Brand new coach at Florida. They got to go back to Oklahoma. They get Auburn in Oxford. They get Georgia in Oxford. LSU in Oxford. Mississippi State in Oxford. Missouri in Oxford. They got to go to Texas and to Vanderbilt. And, of course, Vanderbilt will be at the end of a talent cycle. But, again, you look at the schedule next year, and the degree of difficulty goes up. And so you got to wonder how much that factors into Lane Kiffin's decision-making process. It's like, you know what, hey, if I don't get out now, like next year if I win 9 games, how disappointed are people going to be, right? Yeah, so who knows? You know, I mean, let's just be honest, the level of expectations at Oxford have changed. And you got to wonder if you've taken this thing as far as you can take it. And then maybe now it's time for a reset, you know, and that's some. You never know what coaches are thinking about, but there are a lot of people that want a new challenge. And, of course, I think it would be significant, obviously, if you get things done sooner rather than later. You know, that's an important aspect of it, too. You know, you want to be able to get it done and win, but you begin to ask yourself, can I win the big thing here? And I think in some respects, Dan Mullen and Lane Kiffin probably see all this the same way. You know, Dan wondered if he could win the SEC and win an AFL championship at Mississippi State. So he left and went somewhere that he thought he could. You wonder if Lane Kiffin's having some of those same thoughts. And this year you're in the playoff. And so you think, well, you know, you get there enough, you got a chance to win. But we'll see how things play out. So now, if you hadn't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com and you can get signed copies of all of my sports titles, plus the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. Of course, that's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dogpile, When the Bottom Falls, The Dude, all that's there. Complete your collection. I'll be starting on something very soon. And come float what is a true as float spa of Starkville. We've had some student athletes come in here as of late, just trying to get their bodies right, and always appreciate that. You can use the same facility they use when it comes to physical and mental recovery at true as float spa of Starkville. We're doing the Black Friday special has already begun, so you can buy a package where you get you know, 2 floats at a discounted rate. Dial 662-268-7601. Speak directly to my wife, Dana, and she can answer any questions you may have. She was a registered nurse for over 20 years, so she knows the medical stuff a lot better than most. And then come join us over at jeanspage.com. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.